of Chaos and Confusion, The Modern Church, is a new film from the McGiddo Films Ministry. This film documents the history of some of the errors that have taken over the church to become the predominant face of evangelicalism. To view this film free of charge, please visit our website at McGiddoFilms.org. That's McGiddoFilms.org. You are listening to McGiddo Radio. McGiddo Radio is a radio ministry of McGiddo Films. For more, visit our website at www.mcgiddofilms.org. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to McGiddo Radio for the 11th of October, 2013. Thank you all for tuning in. And on today's show, first of all, to explain to everybody now that McGiddo Radio is every Friday, at least for the foreseeable future. Now, that's mainly to do with the hectic schedule that I kind of have at the moment, and I would just ask for your prayers in relation to a lot of the things that are going on at the moment, because in no way, shape, or form, I want to take my focus off the momentum of McGiddo Radio and all the videos that are going in. I just want to keep the content going as much as possible on YouTube, on whatever site. Probably move away from the Podomatic website, but go onto some other website. If anybody's got any suggestions for MP3 websites, that'd be great. Also, I want to just keep a constant stream of materials kind of coming through. There's more and more things that need to be critiqued from a Christian, from a biblical point of view. Maybe I'm not the person to cover all of that stuff, and I believe that there's other, I won't say everybody needs to go into a Christian ministry online. I think a lot of the websites that are out at the moment probably would be better served, almost not, but there are a lot of Christian ministers, especially men who are well-versed in the Word, a lot of them, on a basis, a lot of, not just the exhortation from a brother like Richard Bennett, who preached recently at Arm Reformed Church, the church I'm a member at, but also the just how the internet at the moment is like the modern printing press, and we should really use it, and we should use it as much as possible. If it's written material, put it on a blog, break it up and put it up there, because people are on this forum. They are talking about these things, especially movies. I think if you're a Christian filmmaker, don't just sell everything. I mean, of course, you have to support yourself, and of course, there's a great amount of costs involved in Christian filmmaking, but I think just put it for free on the internet. Have a way of people buying your DVDs as well. Now, I have no means of doing that at the moment. I won't say I'm a one-man show myself. My wife helps me with a lot of different things. But I just don't have the manpower in order to get Of Chaos Confusion out in a DVD. Otherwise, I believe the content and the research would suffer if I started going into production mode, and I just don't have the means at this moment in time, but Lord willing, in the future it'll change. The power behind a new world order will probably be never made into a film. Or made into a DVD, I'd say. Because it's poor production quality, and it's pretty popular, and I've probably had more responses from that video than anything else, but much of my views in relation to that movie have changed, and I hope to show that out in future videos and things like that. Now, on today's show, we're going to continue with the critique of William Lane Craig, especially that clip from his radio show. Now, I forgot to put in the show notes the actual clip. It's like a 15-minute clip, and it's from his podcast, and it's not that difficult to find it. Well, if you want to find it on YouTube, just there's a video called "What About Roman Catholicism," and I just dig it up here so I have the name right. "What About Catholicism?" question mark, and it's on Dr. Craig videos. This is the YouTube channel. All of this material is on at the moment. So this is pretty easy to find. And a lot of William Glenn Craig's views are pretty easy to find online. It doesn't take a lot of research. Probably the main reason that this could well be the last show I do, because I have a lot of other materials to cover. I really wanted to cover this because I saw... I'll leave the man unnamed for now, but promoting... There's so many quote-unquote big names, and this is the problem with celebrity Christianity. People almost follow a person because they have a claim in a certain area. And we're all fallible men, doesn't matter who it is. Doesn't matter whether it's Dave Hunt on What Love Is This. If you make colossal errors, if you quote really badly, you're going to embarrass yourself. So, and this is kind of what's going on at the moment. But people aren't checking things, and because celebrity personalities are almost kind of aroused up. And I don't think these people set out to do that in any way, shape, or form. But this is where it's kind of gone at the moment. But I digress. Now, I just want to check that this is recording properly. I've been doing a lot of recording checking over the day. So if the audio quality, for whatever reason, is not 100% perfect, I apologize, because I've been experimenting a lot. I'm hoping to get into Skype calls, as in start doing interviews for the show, because I think it's well overdue and there's a number of people I'd like to interview for the radio show. Orthodox Christian ministers, I'm not talking about New World Order materials. I'm not talking about certain people who I would have interviewed a couple of years ago. I want people who are solid in the gospel, solid in the Christian truths, good, sound Bible teachers. Now, they may also deal with certain issues that are controversial that many other people won't cover. And I aim to cover some other kind of maybe quote-unquote strange things in the future, but I believe that are strongly biblical and shown from a historical point of view. That is to say, we're dealing with William Lane Craig again. And let us look at the man's views. Now, I've skipped ahead a little bit on the audio. There's going to be about 30 seconds of audio. I got up to the 6 minute and 15 second mark. Didn't really make sense to continue on from that point because it was midpoint and he was making the same point, really. This, I want to show... Now, the title of today's show is talking about the Pope and his view towards... I got a second clip that I will deal on after this. I want to also deal with his views on justification. So, without further ado, let's get into this.
Aspects of Catholic doctrine that gives me real pause. Bill, I cannot count the number of times when I've gotten in discussions with Catholic friends who have said to me, Kevin, just what, by the way, what is it that distinguishes you and me? What do you guys believe? They want to know what the differences are. Where do you think in opportunities like that, where should we go? First to justification? Is that?
Yes, I think that's the bottom line.
Now, there's a certain extent which, yes, justification obviously is a huge difference between Rome and true biblical Christianity, but I would even go further. The Bible. How about the Bible? And it's probably because the way William Lane Craig defends the Bible, or actually doesn't defend the Bible, is he defends the resurrection or the event of the resurrection and other things without treating the Bible as an inspired book. Look up his debates. He actually does that at the beginning of debates, and he says he just deals with the Bible as you would deal with any other first century historical manuscripts. Now, this is completely, this is not biblical at all. And I know more and more people are doing this because they're listening to William Lane Craig. They're aspiring to be Christian apologists in the future. You have to go to the Bible and how to defend the Bible, not from some philosopher who thinks you need philosophical training in order to understand the Bible. No, you need to understand philosophy through the eyes of Scripture. That is a biblical worldview. That is what Scripture commands us to do, pulling down strongholds raised against the knowledge of truth, not erecting philosophical systems. You didn't start off with philosophy and then come to the Bible, or logic didn't precede the Bible. No, in the beginning was the word logos, which is can also be translated logic, reason, other things like that. God is the logic, the reason, he is the thought, he's the very everything is of him, by him, and through him, the Lord Jesus Christ. You go to him for how to understand things. But no, this is not the way William Lane Craig thinks. So I would go further than saying justification. Now, I'm not trying to nitpick here, but it's not just justification, it's their view on the Bible. They banned the Bible, or banned translation of the Bible, in Council of Toulouse in 1229. No translation in the vulgar tongue. They also declared over 100 anathemas in the Council of Trent during the Counter-Reformation against Bible-believing doctrines, such as on justification, also on free will, which is very interesting. They condemned the view that man does not have free will. It's interesting enough, most modern evangelicals are on Rome's side on this issue now. But I digress, that this is, it's the Bible. Rome does not believe that the Bible is the truth. Rome believes more merely that the Bible contains the truth, like, you know, the Mormons and other any other cult will believe. So there's what William Lane Craig is presenting, not just mere Christianity, but muddy Christianity, which is what C.S. Lewis presented himself. So based on that terminology, you're perfectly fine to use the word mere Christianity, but it's muddying the water Christianity, where the, how would I put it, his views are that Roman Catholicism is Christianity. He believes that Rome is a Christian denomination. This is the neo-evangelical heresy that is spread throughout the church, and I dealt with it in part of Chaos and Confusion in the Modern Church. This is what he believes, and I'll quite clearly bear that out. He has respect for Pope Benedict XVI as a defender of the Christian faith. And actually, I've got a clip from CNN that will bear that out in a minute. And to be honest, people, this is just a taste for people. I'm only going to cover this topic until probably for the next half hour, and then I'm probably going to be done with William Lane Craig, at least for a while, and deal with other issues. There's other issues in the church, Lord willing, that I'll get around to doing them. Please keep me in your prayers that I might be able to get them done. Also, let's continue with this clip.
Really, Kevin, I mean, other things such as church government or the sacraments or other sorts of doctrines are important, but really at the heart of it is going to be justification, because justification by grace alone through faith, I think, is the central Protestant insight, and I think it's a biblical insight, and therefore that's something I think that we need to insist upon.
Is that their understanding of the doctrine of justice?
Okay, so he doesn't understand Protestantism. He doesn't. He is not a Protestant by any stretch of the imagination, and even modern people who call themselves Protestant are not. People who are Protestant, by and large, understood the gospel, that it was by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, not in the human heart, not inviting Jesus into your heart, but it was through faith alone, in Christ alone. But you see, people don't even know what the difference is. And Richard Bennett does an excellent presentation on why, and it's called the Invincible Gospel. I think it's called the Invincible Gospel. And he's got a video presentation. Look at Richard Bennett's presentation. I should go to the Iron Reformed Baptist Church YouTube page, and there's a couple of messages by Richard Bennett on there, and I would really recommend those. Go through those. How, but people don't understand these things anymore. This is why a William Lane Craig gets such credibility. This is why William Lane Craig is so popular. This is why William Lane Craig, because where are the voices raising against him? There's not many. And I think the only person that I've heard actually critique him and say, well, no, his views are completely not biblical at all, is like something like James White. And the problem is I have my own problems with James White, because James White often is probably guilty of the same kind of arrogance, in a different flavor of arrogance, than William Lane Craig is guilty of, in different areas. William Lane Craig states that a person needs to have the philosophical training. I get into these things in a minute, but unfortunately, James White has the same issue with textual criticism. You need this training in order to believe that, well, preservation doesn't really exist. You really need the scientific. You need to look at all the manuscripts and things like that. Rather than, you know, we had the Word of God preserved from every generation. There's really good translations in the Geneva Bible, King James Bible, probably the best English Bible translation that's been made. Tyndale, all these translations. This heritage is built up, gone, apparently, because of certain things. But I don't want to get too much off on a tangent, which I kind of am a little bit. So, let's continue with William Lane Craig.
Justification at Trent is really the same as mine. They don't think that they earn salvation. They don't think that they perform meritorious works that earn salvation. The way they interpret it is that God, by his grace, gives me the power to live a good life, and therefore I go to heaven, and it's all due to God's grace. It's whole.
The problem with this is you're neglecting the deceitfulness and the absolute depravity of the human heart. Jeremiah 17:9 states that the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who shall know it? The heart is deceitfully wicked in that you are radically depraved, as in all of our faculties, will, mind, soul, body, etc., are rooted in iniquity. Everything we do is tainted by sin. This is not to be misunderstood with absolute depravity, which is man could be as evil as he could, but know that man at his root in every faculty is depraved. It is not that in certain ways that he is not, that his will is somehow free, which is completely alien to Scripture. There's no thought whatsoever that the will in any way contributes towards salvation. John 1:13, for example, is not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of the will of God. It is not of the will of those who run, but of him that showeth mercy, as Romans 9 goes through. But getting back to the point that William Lane Craig is making, William Lane Craig is saying that just because certain Catholics don't know what Rome teaches. Of course, when you witness to Roman Catholics, they'll say, well, that's not what we believe. And I go, sure, that's what we believe. So there's really all these saved Catholics is what he's saying. Or the way they interpret Trent, not the way they interpret the Bible, but apparently, but the way they interpret Trent is, oh, it's all by grace. We have a completely different definition of what grace is, so it doesn't really matter. We're all the same. It doesn't matter about bearing fruit or anything like that. It does. The fruit is, if they remain part of that system, they will die in their traditions. They're dead in trespasses and sins. If God makes somebody alive, then they will bear the good fruit that will testify of the justification acquired, of the that will show that the man has been regenerated. That regeneration is a doctrine that has been so undermined, so neglected, so diminished in our time, that we think that in our time that a human decision, you have the ability within you. It is not that much different from Rick Warren says God is just tapping at your heart, cannot wait to come in, and he cannot live without you kind of sermons that you see in emerging churches and things like this. The thing is, man is depraved. His heart, it doesn't matter what these people tell you about, oh, that's not what we believe. What we really believe is this. People lie, and the scriptures testify of that fact. People lie all the time. And you know what? They don't just lie to you. They lie to themselves. They tell themselves they're okay. So just because they tell themselves they're okay, does that mean they make them okay? No. So it doesn't matter what they say that they believe. They're following the way of Rome. Now, of course, there's a lot of people within the fold of Roman Catholicism who don't believe the doctrines of Roman Catholicism, but also at the same time, it does not make them Christians in any way, shape, or form. Just because they play lip service towards the Bible, they play lip service towards these things. And this is the problem, because there's certain church, a lot of evangelical churches, a vast majority of evangelical churches, just because somebody makes a profession in the Lord Jesus Christ, it means they're Christian. It does not. Your profession in Jesus Christ is worthless if all you have is words. If you are not obeying the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are not showing forth the fruits of conversion, then your profession to know him is worthless, deceiving, and lies. That's what the scriptures declare. There's plenty of people, and it talks about this at the end of Titus 1, that by their works they deny him. By the works declare to the world what they truly believe. And this is the issue. And he's showing the common evangelical problem. And the thing about it is, it doesn't matter what they believe. What does their church teach? These are red herrings he's bringing up. It doesn't matter. You'll get people in Islam who claim all sorts of things as well. But of course, they're trying to, certain of them, they're really dedicated towards certain forms of jihad and trying to infiltrate and trying to win people over to religious dialogue. That's what they do at the beginning, until they get into the ascendancy, of course. The naivety is astonishing, but you'll see why in a minute.
Only by grace alone. So the line of distinction becomes very blurred.
Isn't this the key? The line of distinction between biblical Protestantism, between Catholicism, and another Greek Orthodox, Coptic, or any other tradition he cares to bring up, there's not much of a difference. What unites us is more important. Isn't that what heretics like Peter Kreeft and all these guys who get together and are joining hands with Rome state? This is evangelicals and Catholics together type of speech. Don't be fooled by it. This is all it is. Okay, so the main title of this show was looking at, and we're about 22 minutes into it. Unfortunately, I was going to say, normally when this show began, normally the shows were 40 minutes, maybe 30 minutes. Now, for these couple of weeks, because I don't want to make this, I'm so busy, but I am really, really busy at the moment with work and with the church here, and etc. And I just ask for your prayers. So, 40 minutes, and yeah, I've got another 20 minutes before I have to leave. But we're going to look at this clip, and I think this is going to show the way William Lane Craig is not a biblical, I don't get what William Lane Craig believes. He's a liberal. He thinks Genesis 1 to 13, or 1 to 11, sorry, Genesis 1, 1, 1 to 11, the first chapter of Genesis is figurative. He believes it's figurative, like a lot of other so-called modern evangelicals. If you do not believe the word and you reject the opening, in the beginning was the word, and then where do you go from there? Now, there are certain passages of that are figurative, but you need biblical precedent to say that they are figurative. For example, when you have in the Psalms, when it talks about Mount Zion, when it talks about, uses the picture of Mount Zion, for example, Hebrews 12:22 states and shows that these things are figurative, pointing towards the true Mount Zion, the church, because it also gives other titles of the church in Hebrews 12:22. There you have, but you also have a literal Mount Zion that points towards it as a figure of what is to come. It talks about that in Hebrews 9:24, that these are figures of the true. The temple in Old Testament times was a figure of the true temple that would come, the church. You need biblical precedent in which to say these things are figurative, but these things were literally there, but they were pointing towards the true temple, the church. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. That's the precedent by which you say something is figurative. You can't just spiritualize away everything. And a lot of people have claimed that of the Reformed community, unfortunately, usually when, well, we take God at face value kind of claims, such claims are, but what do you mean? Do you say God is a door? No, you don't. You have biblical precedent by which to say this is figurative language talking about he is the way to enter in. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is not a motorway. He's not just... You know what I mean? You have to compare scripture with scripture. There's none of that going on here. This is absolute liberalism denying the plain meaning. Okay, just to give a what is happening here. This is an interview William Lane Craig does on CNN right after the announcement of Pope Benedict XVI is standing down. Now, of course, I dealt with this earlier, and from another point of view, the Malachi, so-called Malachi prophecies, and a number of, I don't know what you'd call them, but just people who are trying to sell books and sensationalism, and they've been proven to be wrong, and they still claim that, oh, well, Petrus Romanus kind of nonsense that kind of went on, and it is absolute a joke, and I think these people who've shown themselves are absolute, I don't know what the... They are just, I thought some of these people were genuine at first, but the fact that they were so, I mean, some of these people went off on Sid Roth and all this kind of stuff. Sid Roth, his show is just packed full of heresy. I don't know what they're absent, but they're just selling books and sensationalism, regardless of what their intentions are. They've been proven to be wrong, and then... When it's shown that it's not Petrus Romanus, then they end up, oh, well, a distant relative on his mother's side and down in, don't you know that the next pope's, oh, well, he's actually Italian blood. Yeah, Italian and Roman is, well, very different. You know that Rome is not all of Italy, right? But I digress. You know, when you're trying to stretch... making everything fit and trying to sell a book, it's kind of hard to stick to the truth at times because that wouldn't sell many copies. So it's pretty... And that nonsense and that papal speculation circus, that's the name of the show that I covered on it. I didn't want to spend a huge amount of time on it. It's adding credibility to a false prophecy and a false prophet. And in Deuteronomy, what was the attitude towards them? That you should not suffer a prophet to live. And we're allowing these dead prophets who are not allowed anymore to have their voice and their false dreams, false prophecies. And it usually starts off with, well, I was such a skeptic. But when I started looking into these things, well, then I just said, well, it can't be coincidence. It's the same story over and over again, you know. Don't buy it. Just don't buy it. Do your own research. Realize it's absolute nonsense. Trust in sola scriptura. These people don't believe in sola scriptura, and these people are not Protestants. Anyway, so this is after this time. Benedict XVI steps down, and he's on a show with this guy called the Amazing Atheist, who has got a YouTube channel. Basically just blaspheming God and just saying anything that comes into his head and nothing of any value to anybody, and gets really popular. But what are we surprised? Because the world hates God, so they're going to gravitate towards these kind of things. Let's look at, now, William Lane Craig, what do you say when you're asked about the Pope in relation to Christianity? He is not a Christian, number one. Now, if he was a really historic biblicist and everything, you would say the man is Antichrist. I know people have different views on that, but we can agree, everybody can agree, that the papacy is Antichrist. I believe he's the Antichrist of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, the son of perdition, the one who would exalt himself within the temple of God, the people of God, because after that point, the temple is the people of God. It is no longer this rebuilt thing in the future, but actually in another show I might cover that, why I am no longer a pre-tribulation dispensationalists, but I digress. I'm getting off on too many tangents here. He had the opportunity here to say that Roman Catholicism, again, is not Christian. But here's what he says.
Pope is resigning at the end of the month, and you say that this resignation comes at a time when the Catholic Church was trying to combat atheism.
Yes, the rise in the non-religious or the rise in secularism in Western society has been one of the concerns of the current Pope. He faces tremendous challenges to Christianity from both the left and the right. And this.
He faces challenges to Christianity. He himself is a challenge to Christianity. He himself is the biggest. He is the mystery of iniquity. But even that aside, there is. Look, this current Pope. Now, I'll give William Lane Craig the benefit of the doubt. He doesn't actually know this, that there's a portrait in the Vatican commissioned in 2005 it's a picture of Benedict XVI, this man who he thinks is great, and we'll go on to explain this in a minute, that Benedict XVI, the way, the truth, and the life. Benedict XVI, that is the portrait. You can actually type it into Google and find it. Blasphemy. Absolute blasphemy. Jesus said in John 14:16, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Not a pope, not Peter, not anybody else. Only the Lord Jesus Christ.
Pope has stood like a bulwark against the challenge of secularism on the left and then the challenge of militant Islam on the right. And I have tremendous respect for him for his resignation today.
So he has tremendous respect for Pope Benedict XVI because he's a bulwark. What? For the Christian faith. This is what William Lane Craig is defending. Is this worth defending? This muddied, miry, this convoluted, strange Christianity that ends up being Romanism. It's paganized Christianity is what William Lane Craig. It's a counterfeit is what William Lane Craig is defending. This is William Lane Craig's own views. He respects him. Rather than saying the man is not a Christian, well, it's like, do you believe that the Pope is not a Christian? Well, if the Pope believes Romanist doctrine from the Council of Trent, which is reaffirmed in Vatican II, of course not. Of course he cannot be a Christian. But if he doesn't, well, why is he the Pope in the first place? The person who claims to be Vicarius Christi, another Christ, the person who claims to be Pontifex Maximus, which literally means, translated, ultimate bridge builder between God and man. He comes from the old pagan priesthood back in Constantine. Not that I'm saying the Roman Catholic Church started with Constantine, and people often make that mistake. But the system began around the time of Constantine, took a couple hundred years after that, before you saw the first proper pope in Gregory III, in 606 AD. Continue on.
Because it shows that this pope is not content to be a mere figurehead. He wants to be an activist in combating these challenges to Christian faith. And that.
He's combating these challenges to Christian faith. So, it's quite clear William Lane Craig sees the pope as a defender of the Christian faith. The pope. That antichrist. Is this the kind of guy you exalt in modern Christianity? And this is the guy on websites, on blogs. People don't care. They are so enamored because somebody has a couple of letters after a name from a certain university. I'm not against universities. I am not against theological training. I am not against education in any way, shape, or form. But just because somebody comes from a certain university, somebody is so well thought of in the world, means nothing. The fruit of their life and what they profess the teaching. What he's teaching is not Christianity.
Takes an enormous amount of energy, which I think he believes now requires a younger man.
And I'm sure TJ would say that something about the sex abuse scandal within the Catholic Church.
So in that little clip, and he doesn't really talk much after that, he responds to a comment by quote-unquote amazing atheist, the so-called amazing atheist. So his view on justification is woeful, and if anybody needs clarification on what the Roman Catholic Church believes, they declare anathema. I just read three anathemas declared on justification he dealt with. He has respect for Pope Benedict XVI. This is the man who said outside of the Roman Catholic Church, there is no salvation. He said that. So, this is from the Council of Trent, 1545 to 1563, this was an attempt to crush the Protestant Reformation. Something that the modern evangelicals have thrown off as well and have done nothing to help in any way, shape, or form. Sixth session, canons concerning justification. This is canon 12, canons concerning justification. If anyone says that justifying faith is nothing else than confidence in divine mercy, which remits sins for Christ's sake, or that it is this confidence alone that justifies us, let him be anathema. So it's not enough to say that faith alone is enough. Let him be accursed. Let him be anathema. Next canon, canon 24 from the canons concerning justification. If anyone says that justice received is not preserved and also not increased before God through good works. So they're saying justice can be received or preserved based on good works, that the justice of God by good works. But the Bible declares that our good works are but filthy rags. Nothing we can do in the flesh can be accepted, but by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. It is through him. It is in him. It is by him, because it is only in him that the Father is well pleased. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this is Christianity. What William Lane Craig is presenting is not Christianity. Also goes on to say, but not increased but God through good works, but that those works are merely the fruits and signs of justification obtained. This is what the Bible clearly declares, that these are fruits, these good works. And you'll check out a good Protestant creed, something like the 1689 Second London Baptist Confession of Faith, which I adhere to, when it talks about the chapter on good works, it talks about them being as fruits that will demonstrate that the person has been justified, regenerated. But we also have to make the distinction that justification is something that is a declarative before God. God declares a sinner righteous based on the merits of another, based upon the life and death of Jesus Christ. Not just acquitting their sins, not just saying that they're not guilty, but also imputing his obedience, his righteousness. He's the way he perfectly loved the Father every day of his life to the account of all those who will believe. That is the glorious gospel. Sixth session, canons concerning justification. This is the last one that I'll read, just showing that they declare these truths anathema. That's reappealed also by Vatican II. If anyone says that the Catholic doctrine of justification, as set forth by the Holy Council in the present decree, derogates in some respect from the glory of God or the merits of our Lord Jesus Christ, and does not rather illustrate the truth of our faith and no less the glory of God and of Christ Jesus, let him be anathema. Okay, what is this saying here? If anyone says that the Catholic doctrine of justification, as set forth by the Holy Council in the present decree, whatever they're declaring here, that you receive grace, and by that grace you can do meritorious works. This is why the Rome does believe grace is necessary. People can't, don't make this mistake and say, well, Protestants believe it's by grace and Catholics just believe it's good. It is grace in combination with good works. That has always been the danger of Romanism. It would always claim, oh, we believe in grace. It's all grace is all needed for the whole lot. That has never been what the Protestant Reformation was about. The Protestant Reformation was about the sufficiency of that grace. That grace alone, Christ alone, in Christ, that is itself, by itself, sufficient. Nothing else is required. That was the issue. And so many people who claim to be experts on it talk about it, but any. If anyone says that the Catholic doctrine of justification is set forth, so if they say this, that this derogates in some respect from the glory of God, that this some way tarnishes that, or the merits of our Lord Jesus Christ, that this derogates, it takes away from that. If you say that, which is plainly, which is what I'm saying, which any proper Christian would say, and does not rather illustrate the truth of our faith, and knowing it's the glory of God and of Christ Jesus, let him be accursed. They're just three canons on justification. They still hold to this. There are over 100 of them that go against the Reformed faith. You cannot be a Protestant and say on CNN before the world, oh, he is defending, he's a bulwark. He had the gall to use the word bulwark, a defender against the left and the right. That this man is someone, not just, he's a Christian, he's a defender. And I've got respect for him, and he needs a younger man. What? People in discernment ministries, right, will go after Rick Warren when he says, pray for the Pope. And that is true, and that is right. And you should do that, by the way. I'm not saying you shouldn't do that, because Rick Warren is a complete heretic. But when someone else does the exact same thing, in very, very subtle and different, slightly different ways, but more or less is doing the same thing, blurring the lines between paganized Christianity, not even Christianity, and true biblical Christianity, trying to create these bridges between them, then people go after him. But William Lane Craig does it. There's nothing. Nothing. Nobody wants to hear it. Not interested. His teachings are destructive. Rick Warren is a heretic, even if he doesn't go to the World Council of Churches, or even if he doesn't go to the Council on Foreign Relations, even if he doesn't join in all these. He's a the gospel he teaches is heretical. It is a false gospel. What William Lane Craig is presenting is a false faith. He is muddying the waters and doing the same thing as C.S. Lewis did, muddying the waters between false Christianity and true Christianity. So all that matters is what unites us, what unites us. But as we see from the writings of Peter Kreeft, Catholic apologists like that, who wrote Ecumenical Jihad, these people love people like C.S. Lewis. They love these people. This is why you'll see Catholic websites and they love William Lane Craig. They love Rabbi Zacharias because they don't say anything that will annoy them. They will just defend theism and a rough idea of the Bible, and some they'll go through some parables, but they won't get to the issues. This is not defending the faith. This is muddying the waters. This is calling good evil and evil good. This is condemned in Scripture. This is false doctrine. This is heresy. And those false teachers are under greater condemnation. This is serious. We just take this lightly, and this is not interesting. But we've become so enamored with celebrity Christianity. And that if the man is big enough and this person promotes him, then he's okay. Not so. There's a lot of quote-unquote discernment ministries out there that are not very discerning. I am not saying that a discernment ministry cannot make mistakes. They do make mistakes. I make mistakes on this website, try to rectify them and change them, and in some way, shape, or form, refute them, try to be loving, try to be edifying as much as possible by the grace of God alone. But there are so many websites out there. You have to be careful. You have to check what they're doing, what I'm doing, what everybody else is doing. You need to be in Scripture. You need to be testing these things against the light of the truth of the Word. Okay, God bless you all for listening again this week. You should be, Lord willing, pray that we'll be back again next Friday. Keep us in your prayers. Also, anything else that's going on, please also pray for the church I became a member of last Sunday week, if I'm not mistaken. Aaron Reformed Baptist Church. And actually, try and visit the website. It's aaron-reformed.com, if I'm not mistaken. But you can type in Aaron Reformed Baptist Church into Google and it should pop up really quickly, because you'll find some of the things I was referencing with regard to Richard Bennett. And also, I've also preached a couple of messages, and some of them are on that website and also on my own YouTube page. Thank you so much for listening in. If you've got any questions, megiddofilms@gmail.com. God bless you all.
Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces.
The only thing that will tie me in victory continually through the blood of Christ is my personal devotion to him, the Son of God.